Good afternoon, patrons, and welcome to the July Patron Cast, which is most definitely in August. We're back on schedule, or rather we're kind of back off schedule, but to me kind of off schedule feels on schedule, because like we were running behind a month for so long. It kind of felt weird when, you know, June's actually fell inside June. That was kind of odd. So I'm kind of happy July has now fallen into August. And August, by the way, will certainly most definitely not be happening in August, because have you bloody seen the state of August? Oh, fine, let's just launch flipping Nuka World on the same flipping day as the fourth episode of Hitman. And then, 1 week later, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, bloody hell. Oh, it's going to be stressful. The second half of August isn't going to be fun. That's when my birthday is, by the way. My birthday's in the second half of August. It's kind of like Bethesda and Square Enix have decided to kind of club together and get me the birthday present of huge amounts of stress. It's going to be brilliant. That is going to be... Oh, God. Pretty much from the moment Nuka World arrives, the rest of August is just going to be a blur of trying to kind of get through and make really good Nuka World stuff as quickly as possible, and ideally get all of it done before Deus Ex comes out, because I want to be doing that as well. God only knows when I'm going to cover flipping Hitman Thailand. I think I might just kind of postpone that into September and just say, screw it, it's not happening. And like, other than like the Stellaris stuff, which has already been recorded, and the Mass Effect stuff, which will keep happening on Saturday anyway. Like, I think maybe like for those 2 weeks, it will literally be nothing but Fallout and then literally nothing but Deus Ex for a few days. Depending on how good Deus Ex is. If Deus Ex is like really terrible, that might just be like a few videos. I don't know, like, that could or could not become a series. I'm genuinely not sure if I kind of want to do a full series of Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Like, I have very, very briefly played like a very small amount of Human Revolution in the past. It was... Would it have been before the channel even existed? I don't know. I'd need to double check when that actually came out, if it was just something like I never did on the channel. Like, it certainly would have been like it came out either in the early days of the channel or maybe even before the channel existed. I'd need to go and like double check the dates there. But obviously, like, I never got into it. Like, I played it for a little bit, but it just never quite caught my attention somehow. So, like, I don't really know. But, like, I understand conceptually I ought to like it. I kind of like the idea of the setting, and I like kind of sci-fi stuff and dystopian stuff and action RPG stuff with character upgrading and tech trees and collecting and subquesting. Like, everything that's, like, in the new Deus Ex and stuff, I should like. I just, for some reason, Human Revolution never quite got its teeth into me. So we'll see about Mankind Divided. If I really like that, that might then become a series. I'm not sure how that's going to become a series. There's not really space for it to become a series right now. But we shall see. In any case, it'll be good for the channel. Like, you know, when there's new Fallout stuff and new Hitman stuff and a new release that's quite popular like Deus Ex, it'll be good. Lots of people will watch it. It'll be lovely. Really good week, actually, this last week. And when I say this last week, of course, I mean the first week of August, because I'm recording this on... It's Sunday the 7th. That's when I'm actually recording this. Yeah, really good week. Loads of people liked Zombie, the video. That was like more viewed than some of the Fallout videos. I've no bloody clue why. I'm kind of going to have to run tests to figure that out. Like, do people really like zombie games? Or do they really, really like British games? Like, I need to figure out what it is. What's the secret recipe for getting tons and tons of views? I don't know what it is. Is it zombies or British? Or British zombies? Do I need to find more British zombie games? Because if so, I don't think there's that many of them. Left Hand Path as well. Lots of people are there. I need to do more VR stuff. I know, like, one thing I actually really want to do before I do more VR stuff, though, is get a proper microphone. Because it's not really good enough to have, like, my microphone set up somewhere. And then, like, because I'm turning around, like, you kind of lose track of the orientation of the room when you're in VR, so I don't even know whether I'm facing the microphone or not. Like, just occasionally, like, when I'm recording VR videos, I, like, have to lift the headset up for a second, like, just to remind myself which way I'm actually facing, and thus which way the microphone is, just to make sure, like, if I'm about to, like, you know, say, like, an extended little speech about something I've been thinking about, I'm not delivering it away from the microphone, so it's echoey. But before we do too much VR, I kind of want to get, a kind of a proper little kind of like a wearable mic. I think they're called like a Lavalier, something like that. There's a name which I've forgotten now. For like, you know, the sort of microphone that like people wear when they're like reporters out in the field that sound really good, but they're kind of clipped to you. So like it would always be underneath my mouth. So therefore, like even if I was turning around, my voice would still be as clear as it would be. So I'm going to get that before I do too much more VR, which is kind of good. And near death, loads of people like near death too. Like, just for some reason, it's just been a really, really good week for views, which is fantastic. That's really good for the channel. And hopefully that'll actually continue as well, actually. I'm doing This Is the Police. It's like a management sim for, like, corrupt police officers and the mafia in America. I'm not even sure when it's set exactly. It's kind of... It's got that kind of like LA noir feeling of grimy police in the past, but it's not quite as far back as LA noir. I think it might be in like the 70s or the 80s. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, that's coming this next week. And obviously No Man's Sky will hopefully be happening. Who bloody knows? They're being really kind of weird about whether or not they're going to send out review code to reviewers and YouTubers and even major sites and whatever. So I don't know. I mean, there will be at least some No Man's Sky. I'm just not sure exactly when. Like, normally, like, YouTubers and reviewers and stuff can, like, get, you know, videos and reviews out, like, the day a game comes out, because we get it a little bit before, like, just a couple of days before. Even, like, a day before is fine. That means we can make it the day before and upload it overnight and whatever. But No Man's Sky, they're being really weird about it, and, like, there's, like, a lot of talk that, like, loads of people aren't going to get it until it's just is out. So I'm not sure when No Man's Sky is going to happen. Hopefully, like, I'm probably going to wait till, like, the Steam version on Friday anyway, rather than rushing to the PS4 version, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm genuinely not sure. But yeah, it's gonna be a busy August with all of that stuff earlier, I think. Anyway, let's move on into the questions, because there's actually some good, quite meaty ones in here, some of them which kind of require a fair bit of answering. I'm just gonna literally work my way through from newest to oldest. I'm just gonna arrange it by newest to oldest on this occasion. Are you going to do Wasteland 2 in the foreseeable future? Depends how you define foreseeable. Like, I don't like to be running too many series at once, because, like, if you run too many series at once, you get up into the odd kind of situation where, like, what's coming up on, every day is like part 17 of this series, then part 9 of this other series, and then part 7 of this other series, and part 292 of the other series, and then it gets kind of quite hard to follow. Like, if you're watching all of them, it probably gets a bit confusing, and, like, you know, and if you're only watching some, that means, like, there's 3 days in a row, like, if it's the series you're not watching, that there's nothing on the channel for you, which is why what I typically say is, like, things like Stellaris, which is a long-running series, like, if I'm doing Stellaris isn't the only thing on that day. There's something else on as well, like a one-off or something. And like Mass Effect 2, I've been kind of doing the same thing. So on Saturday, you get like a part of Mass Effect 2, but you also get something else. Like the other night, there was a new part of Mass Effect 2, but there was also Zombie. Because like, I like having a series, because I like kind of being able to kind of explore a game in depth. And some people really like series. Some people like kind of being able to kind of go through a whole game and kind of seeing something that I know pretty well, and me kind of talking about it and going through the whole process. And like, a series is really interesting, because a series like gives you like a really good narrative, because you can start, like, you know, kind of creating an internal mythos for it. It's like an individual video, you can like come up with a joke and you can come back to the joke, and the joke can be circular and it can work very, very nicely. You can come up with like a theme for the video. It's like in Zombie, it's all about, like, you know, the things they got wrong for Britishness, like the prices, the sum that's in dollars, and the tube map that's wrong, and that worked. But it's only really in a series that you can like get a proper internal mythos and have it actually kind of be something that's got its own story. Like, you know, the story of PD Shoot, and the story of On Again, and like the story of the Mighty Ducks in Stellaris right now. Like, I love doing that storytelling through a series, but I don't want to do too many series at once. The series are a lot less watched than any of the one-offs are, and that's 100% fine. That's entirely to be expected, like, you know, because if I've put out 4 episodes of a series, then, you know, someone will just miss part 3, and if they miss part 3, they won't watch part 4, and some people will go back and catch up, and some people just won't. Best one in the world, they might not do, even if they really enjoy my stuff. So that's 100% fine. So I kind of can't do too many series at once, and I vaguely got in mind what I kind of want the series to be, which is Mass Effect 2 is going to take a little while. That's going to take a few months yet to kind of go through that, because that's only one a week. I'm thinking after that, it could be, don't hold me to this, all right? This kind of can all change, because there might be like games that come up in the meantime that I want to do. I'm thinking what might come after that is Red Dead Redemption. Because obviously Red Dead Redemption is now one of the games that's backwards compatible with the Xbox One. It's actually got some performance improvements. So Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox 360 used to kind of like, it would regularly chug down to like 20, 22 frames a second. Like on the Xbox One, it holds up much more nicely at 30 frames a second, which is obviously, you know, not exactly the lovely PC 60 frames a second, but equally, it sounds like there's basically never going to be a PC version of Red Dead Redemption, because I don't know, they lost the code or something. It's a bit fuzzy. Everyone's a bit kind of embarrassed embarrassed about what happened with Red Dead Redemption. So basically, it's never going to come to PC. So potentially a version that's running a bit more nicely on the Xbox One might be nice. Like, I've never played Red Dead Redemption. I think it would be, it's one that kind of seems to have quite a cult following. Like, from what I've seen of it, it looks really, really damn good. So it might be nice to do that on Saturday after Mass Effect 2. Now, after Stellaris is done, I'm thinking of doing Civilization 5, which again, I've never played before, so that would be brand new to me. And that's kind of an interesting one, because I kind of want to kind of do a little bit of reading up about that. Maybe I'd like play, if there's a tutorial in it, I don't know if there is, if there's a tutorial, I'd play that off camera. Maybe I'd just play a little bit, just so I understand like, roughly at least how the controls work. It would just be frustrating if I just blatantly missed something, because I didn't understand like where the button was, for example. So I might kind of do some form of prep work for that, but I'll do a series of Civilization 5. The reason I want to do that is because I want to have done Civilization 5 before Civilization 6 comes out at the end of the year, so it kind of feels like one would flow logically into the other. So after Stellaris, I think it's going to be Civilization 5. Now, together with the fact that obviously we're also going to have some form of Fallout as a series ongoing, that doesn't really leave much space for Wasteland 2. So Wasteland 2, I think, is going to... it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen in 2017, not 2016. And, like, I think it's a really interesting idea, because, of course, like, Wasteland 2 is... well, it's not really necessarily Fallout-y, but it's post-apocalyptic-y. So when Fallout calms down a little bit, and obviously we're just about to finish off the last of the DLC launches for Fallout 4, then it might be nice to do some Wasteland 2 after kind of Fallout 4 settled down a little bit. So maybe when Fallout 4 is down to, like, one episode a week of something as we go into next year, it might be nice to have some Wasteland 2. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about that. Do I plan on doing the JSOY New Vegas playthrough all the way through all the DLC, or is it just main game? I haven't really decided, to be honest. Like, it's kind of about showing off stuff I've never really shown off before. So there's certain DLCs where, like, I think there is actually, like, a lot of value in doing it. So Old World Blues, I will definitely do. And the reason for that is Old World Blues, pretty much every time I've done it before, I've kind of just been kind of skimming through it. So for example, Old World Blues in You Only Live Once, I really did skim through it as quickly as possible, just like, you know, sneaking in and out of the main facilities and just getting through it, like in a few parts. And like, there was a huge amount of really interesting stuff I never visited. So Old World Blues will like definitely happen. I think potentially Dead Money will happen too, because hardcore mode Dead Money, where like you take damage constantly while you're outside, is kind of interesting, and it makes Dead Money even more ridiculously hellish than it already is. So that's kind of worthwhile doing. Honest Hearts, maybe I'll skip, because I don't think there's like much in Honest Hearts beyond what I already kind of showed in You Only Live Once, so maybe there's not much point. And well, Lonesome Road's actually not even that long. Maybe I'll do Lonesome Road anyway, just because Lonesome Road's not that long. But again, Lonesome Road actually isn't really a DLC where there's much more than what I've already shown off, to be honest. Actually, there's a few little kind of extra areas I didn't go into in You Only Live Once, because like I was just trying to get through it in the straightest line possible. So there are like some extra bits and pieces, so I'll certainly do at least some of it, but I might also skip some other bits too. Can you do more games with Matt that you're terrible at? Rainbow Six was amazing. I loved that video. I thought it was really, really damn good. The thing is, like, I'm not sure why. I think I've mentioned this in the past. Like, the stuff with Matt has done all right, but not spectacularly, and I'm not entirely 100% sure why that is. So I probably want to do, like, another shooter with Matt, because I think maybe people just don't really, like, find the shooters as interesting, because Rainbow Six Siege and Division, well, Division to some extent anyway, are both kind of shooters. So I'm going to try something else. And I've got a plan in mind. In fact, I actually want to do something that involves Matt, Claire, and potentially someone else, potentially not. I'll kind of decide whether four people might be a bit too crowded. Maybe three is about optimal. I kind of have a big kind of collaborative project in mind, a sci-fi game thing, which I might involve Matt and Claire with. I've mentioned it to both of them, but it's still kind of in the planning stages. But yes, Matt will most certainly be back. I love working with Matt. I think we've got good chemistry for this sort of thing. But I don't know exactly what or when it's going to be. And the same person asks, are there any website updates? There probably should be. It's almost ready to go, actually. The only thing that's not ready to go is I've been having a bloody pain of a time trying to get like PayPal properly set up for it. Because like a few people have like said to me, hey, like I would love to kind of help support Many True Nerd, but I don't really want to do Patreon stuff. And fair enough, some people just don't want to do that. So like, you know, do you have like a PayPal donate button so I can just like put in like one-offs whenever I want? And we kind of said, okay, that's fair enough. So I've been trying to get that set up, but it's really, really awkward to do. The donate on PayPal is, well, it's supposed to be like, according to their own literature, only for like charities and stuff. But like, you know, I see like donate PayPal buttons all over the internet for things that aren't charities. So I'm trying to figure out what's actually going on here and whether like that's even what's supposed to be happening. I'm just in emailing with them and they're a pain because they don't email you properly. Like when you email them a question, they email back with like links to FAQs and like stuff that's been copied out of a script and whatever, and they don't speak to you like a normal human being. So hopefully soon. But yes, that's what's actually slowing it down. I mean, it's not going to be a massively complicated website anyway. It's going to be literally like a place where I can put some blog stuff if I want to write something that just doesn't fit into Twitter, other than like putting 20 angry tweets in a row, which people don't like when I do because they tell me that I, you know, fill up their Twitter feed and I shouldn't do that. So like it's a place where I can put like a slightly longer writing on something if I kind of want to talk about something in a way that kind of doesn't really fit into Twitter at all. It's a place where I can kind of just put links to PayPal and Patreon, and it's a place where I can just kind of, you know, put some contact information for me if you want to kind of get in touch, and also just a place where I can just put videos. What I realized, by the way, which we've got set up at the moment, is rather than it just like showing the most recent video, it does show the most recent videos, but it also has like a spotlight for older videos so that every week I can just slot in a new slightly older video that like fewer people have seen, but I think is actually quite a good one. So I can just kind of throw some extra attention on like an older video. Not like really old, I wouldn't go back to the very beginning of the channel. I'd stay with kind of the ones that I think are like after the period when I think I got good, because absolutely I look back and I think at some of the older stuff, hey, that's not very good now, but like after a certain period, and it's kind of somewhere in the period when I was making Fallout 3 Kill Everything, I think, okay, now you're probably quite good at making videos, and like anything that's after that point I think is kind of acceptable to be included like in that number. So I'd like to kind of draw attention to a few of the older ones there. So it's kind of cool. It's not complex, it's actually a fairly simple website, and hopefully it will happen soon. Can we expect to see Total War anytime soon? Ooh, kind of the same answer as we had, unfortunately, to Wastelands 2 earlier. It just kind of doesn't really have anywhere to go. Like, I was originally planning for it to be next, but then I realised, like, if Civilization 6 is coming later this year, it would be cool to do Civilization 5 ahead of time, so I roughly knew what I was doing in time for Civilization 6. There's stuff I want to do for Total War. Like, the three things in particular that I want to do for Total War is I'd like to do something on Rome Total War 1, Barbarian Invasion, because I love the Barbarian Invasion expansion pack, in particular like playing the Western Roman Empire or something, because I've never really done that. I always used to play the Eastern Roman Empire, which I thought was a lot more fun, so it might be nice to play the Western Roman Empire and try and stop it dissolving. I always think that's kind of a cool thing to do. I'd like to play Medieval 2 Total War in some capacity, because I really enjoy Medieval 2. I think it's a brilliant kind of game in the franchise as well. I'd love to play Empire. I've never played Empire before. Okay, I have played Empire before. I've played Empire before for like the odd hour here or there, just kind of poke at it and be slightly confused by it. So I'd like to play it for the first time. And I said three things, I'm not going to add in a fourth. I would like to play for the first time Rome 2, because I know Rome 1 so well. It might kind of be a nice counterpoint to play Rome 2 and kind of record my first reactions to it. That might be fun. But equally, it might be a bit unfair because people tell me like, you know, so much has changed that I like, it's not fair to try and compare Rome 2 to Rome 1. I probably like ought to like off screen play a little bit of like Shogun 2. So like I understand where Total War's got to. So I understand like a little bit of the context for where Rome 2 is, I guess. I don't know. I'll have a think about it. Like I would love to do Barbarian Invasion, but there's just really not a spot for it. But it's probably something I will do after Civilization 6. We'll probably go back to Total War at that point, and I would imagine it's going to be Barbarian Invasion or Medieval 2. I don't know which one. Would I consider playing the Zero Escape series? Yes, I would, except for one small problem. My understanding is it is a trilogy, and only the third part is out on Steam. I've actually looked at it before, and like several of the highest ranked reviews were specifically saying, like, if you haven't played the first two, you'd have no bloody clue what's going on. And the first two were, I think, handheld only. It looks like, as far as I can tell, there's no Steam release or anything. So I agree, like, with the whole kind of decision making and puzzles and people have to die and diddly diddly dee, it does actually sound really, really cool. It might be kind of a fun little thing to play. However, I'm just kind of a bit kind of worried that without any context, I'd kind of be missing the point a little bit. Same person asked in relation to the fact I mentioned Antigone a while ago in another patron cast. Do I have a favourite playwright? Oh, Sophocles all the way, man. Ajax, brilliant play. Philoctetes. Now, Philoctetes is a massively underrated play. You know, I've never, ever seen it staged. I have never seen. And, like, I flipping went to flipping Oxford, and, like, there was classic students and theatre everywhere, and not one person even there staged Philoctetes. Euripides is overstaged. All right, fine. Hippolytus, brilliant play. Makes some fantastic stages. Bacchae, fine. Medea, abso-flipping-lutely. Iphigenia and Aulis, absolutely. Sure, whatever. But just stage Philoctetes. It's a brilliant, brilliant little play. Brilliant, fantastic play. I mean, I would probably say Menander, but the thing is, like, we don't even have a full Menandrian play. We've got the Discolos, which is, like, one play, and even then there's a few kind of slight holes in the darn thing. But, oh, the Discolos, like, which, by the way, Antiquity Records is not one of Menander's better plays. It's beautiful. You can go through it 5 times and keep finding extra layers of elegance to it. It's absolutely bloody gorgeous. So, like, I'd probably actually maybe have to kind of revise my opinion and say, of the playwrights that we actually have some plays of, Sophocles, but it's got to be Menander, because I'd love to see the Discolos staged properly by someone who properly understood it and loved the text, though admittedly it would be nice if we had some other Menandrian plays as well. Now here's an interesting one from Ross James, the lovely chap who used to do the good count in the Fallout videos. Are there any particular phrases or mannerisms you feel you used to say, but listening to yourself in editing makes you try to stop saying it? Or how do you think that constantly having to analyse what you say for an audience has changed how you talk? Now this is really, really interesting, because there's genuinely like a balance you have to strike, which is like, you have to have a distinctive voice. To some degree, like, the reason people like watching your stuff is because they like what you've already done, so therefore you want it to stay at least, like, a little bit the same. So, you know, there's reasons why you always kind of, like, sign off in the same way and begin in the same way and kind of try and keep a tone of voice roughly the same, and I try and keep, like, the tone of the videos, like, roughly the same. Like, for the most part, I don't do negative stuff. I try and do positive stuff. And even if I'm doing negative stuff, I try to kind of not make it like grumpy or angry. I still try to have a bit of fun with it anyway. And I try and make it good natured. Like, I really, really had a seriously large number of problems with We Happy Few, but I'd like to think that wasn't a rant video in any capacity. Like, I still got out there and played it and had a bit of fun with it, even if there were a lot of problems with it and I had to talk through those problems, but I didn't want it to be just like a rant, because that's not what I do. Now that's kind of like the high level structure of it, but it kind of works with language as well. I do catch myself, I think, kind of going back to certain phrases a bit more than I'd like, but, like, people don't generally point it out, so I don't think it's a problem. Like, what I know I do a lot, and what I try and cut out a little bit, is what I'll often do is I'll say something, and then I'll pause, and then I'll put just, like, a generic end sentence meaningless word here. I'll put lovely, or nice, marvellous, or absolutely at the end of a sentence. And, like, if you cut that out, then it would make absolutely no difference to the sentence. The reason it's really easy to do is because, obviously, there's big periods of silence you're not hearing. So whether it's Stellaris or Fallout or whatever, I might kind of say something, say lovely at the end of it, and then I might go 5 minutes and not say anything, knowing, okay, this is going to get cut out because I'm setting up the next bit I want to show off. And then I'll get to that, and then I'll say that, and then, like, to me, when I'm recording it, it won't sound to me like I'm saying lovely or marvellous or whatever too much, because, like, you know, like, well, the last time I said lovely was flipping 10 minutes ago, of course I'm not saying it too much, but once you've edited out all the silences, then all of a sudden there's a really, really strong abundance of me just kind of saying the same sort of, like, individual few words at the end of a sentence, and I try to cut down me saying it a bit, because I do particularly kind of, I think I do that a little bit kind of too much. I also say diddly diddly dee quite a lot. I didn't used to say that as much. I've really started saying that quite a lot. Also, I've started doing the da-na-na-na when I kind of collect an item recently. I don't know why I started doing that precisely, but I have noticed myself doing that a few times recently. I never used to do that in the slightest, but I'm not quite sure why that's there. But it's not so much I introduce stuff like by accident. I don't really plan to do it, but I do make a conscious effort to occasionally kind of cut some stuff out. So I try and cut out a little bit of that repetition, and kind of maybe I'll kind of just slowly ease down on the number of lovelies at the end of sentence, because I do think that is something I say too much. But equally, I don't think anyone's ever really, in thousands of comments I get and read a month, I can't actually remember anyone really criticising that. So possibly I am kind of, the only person who thinks it's a problem is me. So, just me overthinking it most likely. Now, here's an interesting one. Someone asked me, have I ever had the chance to play Sunless Sea Might Me Right Up My Alley? Indeed, actually. It's funny you'd mention that one. Not only did I request and get review code for that bloody ages ago, I just never got round to it. The reason I never got round to it was because I wanted to have a look at Fallen London first. Sunless Sea, by the way, is a game set in the wider universe of Fallen London, in case you've never come across this. Fallen London was a kind of a choose-your-own-adventure novel thing, and I wrote to them, and this was years ago, this was like right at the beginning of the channel, and I asked them, would you be okay if I played through Fallen London, reading along for a choose your own adventure and making my choices and reading out the text? It's effectively it is literally a choose your own adventure novel, it's text based, and if I did that and recorded myself doing it and putting it on the channel, they said, yeah, absolutely, you have our permission to do that. And I never got around to it, because that was in the really early days of the channel when, there were only, two videos a week or whatever. And, I did some visual novel stuff. I did, Tofu Boyfriend and Nicole, but I never got around to doing Fallen London. So I'd quite like to do Fallen London first, and then I'm going to get around to Sunless Sea, but I do actually have it already. Have I ever considered playing Sir You Are Being Hunted? Yes, I have. Honestly, I looked at the trailer ages ago, and I didn't think it looked desperately interesting, but it does seem to be well regarded, so I will probably give it a look at some point. So yes, that will happen sometime or another. Have I got a favourite piece of editing that I've done? Yes! Yes, I do. In the third channel anniversary special, it was the American brownies editing joke. Where basically I said, you probably think these brownies don't look very American yet. Don't worry, I'll make them more American during editing. And then the American national anthem starts playing, and then an American flag waving in the breeze kind of fades in. And then, of course, the handgun fades in, then the eagle. I love that joke. It's probably a bit on the nose, to be honest, but it's my favourite bit of editing-specific humour that I can think of in the history of the channel. The other one, in terms of an actual gameplay video, is back in Fallout 3 Kill Everything, and back in Andale, The Practical Guide to Parenting, which is probably one of my favourite videos I've ever made in all time, where I send the little girl up to her room and then put the landmines over the door, and then you just kind of hear the landmine explosion, and then just me kind of yelling out, what did I just say? Because I told her to stay in her room. The thing is, that is actually an editing joke, because, as you might be aware, if you've played Fallout 3, children are not just invincible in Fallout 3. Connected to that is the fact that they cannot trigger landmines. Even if that girl had tried to leave her room, she would not have triggered the landmine. That explosion, I had to record the audio for that by dropping a mine outside and simply shooting it to cause it to explode, so I could record the sound of the mine exploding. I then simply positioned myself downstairs, inserted the audio of the mine exploding, and then just yelled, what did I just say? The child never actually detonated the mine. It was all a lie. It was all editing. Because that had to be done by editing, because I originally did want to detonate it, then she just walked straight over the top of it, because she couldn't have detonated it even if she wanted to. The only way I could have actually made her detonate it was if I'd made a really precarious pile of mines, so by virtue of walking into them, she'd knocked them over and then one had fallen directly on top of the other, because if a pile of mines gets too big, they sometimes just detonate anyway, but that would have taken a very long time to set up, and it would have actually been pure potluck if she'd have actually detonated them anyway. So that was indeed just a bit of editing. There you are, behind the scenes look. Knights of the Old Republic. Now this is an interesting one. I would love to do a full series of Knights of the Old Republic, but Knights of the Old Republic is, in fact, a Star Wars game. And that causes one of the Content ID red klaxons to kind of go off. And Star Wars is now owned by Disney, which causes the other klaxon marked Content ID to go off. So I'm just a bit worried that, you know, I'd have to be like covering up music all over the place, and like the Star Wars soundtrack couldn't be in it, and like the opening music couldn't be in it, and possibly like I couldn't even put in like the cutscenes, I don't know. Like, I would really love to do it because I agree it's exactly my sort of game, and I actually really like Star Wars as well, but I just don't know if I can safely do it. It's something to think about, but like, I've got to put the security of the channel first, and making videos of something with a Star Wars name on it that's now owned by Disney, when neither of those bodies will ever give permission for those videos to be made, it kind of just makes me a little bit nervous. Any chance of giving Tale of Two Wastelands a try? I've got nothing against it, I just don't know what I'd do with it, other than like, you know, taking one character to the other game and then using one set of mechanics in both games. I don't know what I do with it, really. Just like, you know, here's me playing Tale of Two Wastelands, I'm now going to play Fallout 3 and New Vegas, like, together. Like, that's not enough for me to make a series out of. I need to, like, do something with it. So I'd need to come up with an actual idea for it before I did it. So, not imminently. Any chance of Red Dead Redemption? Yes! As I just mentioned, that's probably going to become a Saturday series at some point. Favourite book series? Jasper Ford's The Thursday Next books. I think there's 7 of them at this point. There might be an 8th by now. I'm not even sure. I need to go and check whether the 8th one might have actually come out. I don't know. But they're just very, very clever. They're kind of literary fantasy stuff, but it's all very weird and very serene, and the whole thing's got a very surreal British sense of humour to it. It's very, very good. Do I have any favourite Robot Wars battles or robots from the original run? Pretty much anything with Hypnodisc. I always loved Hypnodisc. Hypnodisc was fantastic. I think if you like search for like Hypnodisc battles on YouTube, there's like a top 5 Hypnodisc battles that come up, and I was kind of watching that again recently because I was like showing Claire some stuff, because they never had Robot Wars in France when Claire was growing up, so I was like introducing her to Robot Wars ahead of the new series, and we watched those top 5 Hypnodisc battles, and there's one where Hypnodisc goes up, I think it's like the 2nd of the 5, where Hypnodisc goes up against this like crappy little robot, this like 15-year-old kid built clearly on the cheap, and Hypnodisc just shreds the poor thing, it just tears its armor off, it's just a humiliation. Brilliant. Oh, I loved Hypnodisc. How far in advance do I record videos? Really depends video to video. Like, the kind of the big headline series, like if I'm doing like You Only Live Once or New Vegas Survival at the moment, I don't let myself get too far ahead of those because I like to be able to, like, you know, look at what people are putting in the comments and actually reflect that in subsequent videos. So those really I don't let myself get more than like a week or at most 2 ahead. On running series, I let myself get quite a lot ahead. Like, the one that people noticed recently, of course, was Stellaris. Because Stellaris, I recorded, like, 7 parts of that, the first 7 parts of the series. And then immediately after I finished recording that, they said, oh, by the way, we've now just released the new version of the game Asimov, which changes everything. It's like, brilliant. They've released Asimov, and I haven't even started putting out my Stellaris series. I mean, I need to actually say, by the way, this is under the old patch, and it's going to be for the next 3.5 weeks, because I got ahead. So that was marvellous. And I have actually finished the Stellaris series at this point. Don't want to say how many parts it is, because obviously that'll kind of spoil when the ending's going to come. But that series is currently on episode 8? 9? 8 or 9. That's on like episode 8 or 9, and there's like weeks of that to go yet. It goes on for like, it'll still be going on into September, I'll say that. You'll get Stellaris kind of throughout the rest of August. And that has basically been finished. So like, you know, a little series like that, I will let myself get very, very far ahead. The big headline series, I try and keep like within 1 or 2 weeks so I can properly reflect what people are saying. As a follow-up question, do I read the comments less if I've kind of made the videos ahead of time? No, not really. I still do actually read all of the comments. Obviously, I can't reflect the comments kind of in the subsequent video, but like, I like kind of people like being down in the comments, and I do always make an effort, especially when a video has just gone out, to actually be active in the comments and like be chatting to people. So particularly like if a video is like just gone out in the last hour, if you leave a comment, there's a very good chance I'll actually kind of might well reply to it if you actually put a question in. Whereas comments after that, like 99% of the time, I will kind of see them and read them subsequently. Sometimes they get like lost in spam filters or whatever. So like occasionally I can miss them. But obviously like on those cases, I'm less likely to be able to represent it and I'm less likely to reply, but I do still see them. But no, I do still see all of the comments. And finally from that person, does Patreon record the demographics of its patrons? No, unfortunately it does not. So I have no way of knowing who you lot are, unfortunately. But I do know you are all lovely. With how slow growth is for small channels on YouTube, what keeps you going in the early days of the channel, and any tips for small gaming channels? It's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Like, I think the most important thing is not to kind of get down on the fact that you've not seen, like, success immediately, and also not to listen to the naysayers, because a lot of people that will, like, say, oh, you know, you can't succeed these days. Like, you know, the big channels that are already there have got it all sewn up. I started in 2013, and when I was starting in 2013, everyone was saying, you can't succeed now, it's too late, the big channels have got everything sewn up, there's no chance to be successful now, you just can't. And then 2 years later, this was my job. Like, and people were probably saying back in 2010 the same thing, and they're saying the same thing now, and they'll be saying the same thing in 4 years. Like, if you're thinking, can I start a channel now in 2016, or is it too late? Just so you know, like, in 3 years' time, in 2019, they're all going to be saying to each other when they're saying, can I start a YouTube channel? They're all going to say, no, you can't start a YouTube channel. It's all been sewn up. Like, if you'd started back in 2016, God, they had it easy back then, didn't they? But now it's so saturated. It's so, so saturated. Like, throughout YouTube's history, everyone's always told the young channels, oh, it's really saturated now. You won't be able to be successful because it's so, so saturated. And it's never been true. Like, channels that work hard and are consistent and absolutely get lucky can rise up through the ranks. And I'm not just saying that, like, you know, as I'm like one in a bajillion or something. Like, I have known other channels who I used to see on the Let's Play subreddit, who when I kind of first came across them were really, really small back when I was really, really small. And like, they've got somewhere just like we've got somewhere, like a channel which is called like Geek Remix. I used to see them when they had like a few thousand subscribers, when I had like a couple of thousand subscribers. And I think they recently passed six figures. I think they're over 100,000 now. Absolutely, for like every few people for whom that happens, there are many, many people that fail. But I think most people that fail because they had unrealistic expectations, they get frustrated, they kind of don't really want to put the work in. Because it is work. It's a huge amount of work. And when you start doing it, it's not just work that's actively thankless, it's work that if you try and share it with people, people will be actively hostile to you. Like, as a small YouTuber, if you put your video out there on, like, you know, the relevant subreddits, or on Twitter, or you email it to people, or whatever, you'll probably get more hostility than anything else, other than from your own friends. People will be like, why are you trying to spam your channel here? Stop trying to advertise, da da da. You'll get hostility for it. And I got hostility when I was, like, you know, initially very small and, like, just trying to share my videos around in places that I thought were the most relevant places to share those videos. Like, the best thing you can do is basically, don't start YouTube unless, like, having done a few test videos, you actually enjoy the process of making those videos so much that you would keep doing it even if you were never successful. And as for, like, how to give yourself the best chance, probably the best thing you can do is find something that you are uniquely qualified to comment on. Find something that you can do that a lot of other people would not be able to do. So in my case, it's that I know Fallout New Vegas really, really bloody well. So I was able to talk to New Vegas in quite a lot of detail. There are people that know it better than me, absolutely. But I would say I probably know New Vegas better than, you know, 99.9% of players. And that means other New Vegas players were interested in hearing what I had to say when I started putting together videos. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It can be a game that you know really well, or a game that you love more than anyone else does, or a game that you really, really, truly despise. Because plenty of channels have, like, you know, risen to prominence off the back of hating things rather than loving things. Find something that you are uniquely qualified to do. Do that and make sure that you enjoy the act of doing it so that you can keep doing it even if it's a bit of a long slog. What's the status on merchandise? Oh, bloody hell, it'll happen at some point, just don't expect it anytime soon. Hopefully before the end of the year, but I really don't have an exact kind of time. Next, someone mentioned Sky Shines Bedlam. Funny fact, they actually kind of relaunched with kind of the Redux version. Not only do I know about it, and I'm planning to make a video at some point, they even emailed me saying, hey, we saw you made a video first time around, would you like to make a video of the Redux version? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I just haven't got around to it. Am I excited for No Man's Sky and the Bioshock Collection? Bioshock Collection, not desperately, because, like, you know, we already have Bioshock and Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Infinite. I just don't really know what the Bioshock Collection really adds. Those were already, like, on PC, and they don't really need to be remastered in any capacity, so, yeah, I'm just not quite sure what the Bioshock Collection is for, to be honest. No Man's Sky, I'm worried about more than anything. The fact they're being really funny about only sending out review code at the very last minute typically is a very worrying sign, and the footage that's leaked is not looking great. I mean, there's been a lot of chatter about how, oh, they're going to patch it. They're going to patch it on day one. Well, they can patch it, but a day one patch is only going to do so much. I don't know about No Man's Sky. We'll see. I think it's going to struggle because I think it's been really, 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 really highly hyped. And it's, you know, an indie game made by a small team. I think it potentially is going to struggle to live up to some very, very high expectations. Will there ever be more Pokemon Go? Honestly, no. I think kind of, you know, I want to do a bit of a kind of a fun video on that. I did what I think was a fun video on that. I don't think I'm going to do much more. Honestly, like, I've barely touched the thing for the last week, like, just because there's not enough gameplay in Pokemon Go for me. But right now, I'm not really using it for anything other than just kind of using it as a way of just kind of encouraging me to go for really long walks. I just use it as, like, a low-intensity zombies run, to be honest. I just go around hatching eggs. That's all I really use it for. And could I please say, my coyote eats yogurt from aluminium cups. Absolutely, I can. Thoughts on future live streaming, in particular, the question of Twitch versus YouTube. Honestly, I found YouTube a lot easier to use back end than I did with Twitch. And quite a lot of people actually kind of showed up for the YouTube one. Because obviously, you know, I've got a lot of subscribers on YouTube and a lot less kind of subscribers on Twitch. So it's kind of a lot easier to do it on YouTube. And YouTube has made it very, very easy. And if I could get the internet, you know, sorted out, like I can do higher quality streams on YouTube than I can on Twitch, because Twitch literally hard caps how much data you can actually send at them, which isn't even that high. So probably I'll do another one on YouTube, but I'm not 100% sure. As for how often they're going to be, I don't know if it's going to be monthly, but I'll certainly do another test soon-ish. And do I have a favourite Doctor? I always had a fondness for the 11th. I liked Matt Smith. I really enjoyed Matt Smith's era. I haven't particularly been enjoying Peter Capaldi, like, mainly because, like, I don't think, like, the overarching plots of the series have been particularly good. I like Missy. I just don't think they've found anything interesting for her to do, to be honest. But I like Missy and I like the character of Missy as the new Master. That's quite good. I liked a lot of the individual episodes in David Tennant, but I look back now and I don't like it anywhere near as much as the Matt Smith stuff. Eccleston was great, but it's kind of just a shame he didn't really hang around long enough. Kerbal Space Program. Now, this is an interesting one. I've actually played some Kerbal Space Program. I just tried messing around with it, but that was a while back. And the problem I had with Kerbal Space Program was, plain and simple, I don't think I was very good at it. I didn't get it. But that was in the early days when it was in alpha or early access or whatever it was in before it kind of launched. It launched not long ago properly. So maybe it's got a proper tutorial now, but I played it in the days when it didn't really have a proper tutorial and I just didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't have a great experience with it. So maybe it's time for me to dig back in fact, and actually play around with it now I've actually got a tutorial and figure out what I'm doing. So yes, maybe I will indeed. Do I still get excited for my birthday night before I have trouble sleeping or something? No, I don't. And I never did. I never really kind of got desperately excited for my birthday, because my birthday is in the middle of the summer holidays. And when your birthday's in the middle of the summer holidays, and like I did, I went to school very far away from where I lived when I was growing up. So that meant all my friends were a fairly long way away from me, and like my birthday would just fall in the middle of the summer holidays. So very often, not much would happen for my birthday at all, because like loads of people would be like on holiday or out of the country when it was my birthday, so I never really did much for my birthday for the most part. So my birthday was never really a big event, which is very, very sad. And my birthday's coming up in a few weeks as well, and as is traditional, I won't actually be doing very much for it, to be honest. In fact, I will be working manically on Nuka World and possibly Hitman, trying to make videos as fast as possible in what's probably going to be a really, really hot room, so it'll be the middle of August, and I'll have a computer on, well, in fact, multiple computers on, so I'll probably just be sweating profusely in a room with the blinds shut, trying to make videos. It'll be the best birthday ever. Who's my favourite character on Game of Thrones? No bloody clue, I've never watched it. I know, I'm sorry. I just never watched the first series and I never really got caught up with it or anything. Like, I don't really watch much TV. What Claire and I are watching at the moment is we're watching Orange is the New Black. So we finished watching the first series of that and now we're kind of like a bit of the way into the second series, like maybe a third of the way through the second series. So we'll watch that now. Maybe I'll catch up on Game of Thrones at some point. But no, though obviously, like, I know a lot of what happens because the internet talks about it. I've never seen it. And maybe that's kind of why I'm not in a hurry to catch up with it. Because, like, I feel like most of it, like, the big things that have happened have kind of already been spoiled for me. Because, like, you know, the internet's so full of GIFs and chatter about it. Like, I know the big things that happen at the beginning and the end of each series, so it kind of feels a bit pointless watching it now. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll catch up at some point. If a movie was made about your life, who would play you? Well, obviously, I'd play me. I'd have to play me because no one else could possibly correctly represent my stunning charisma and good looks, obviously. Goodness sake. Any chance of another crappy simulator? Yes, actually, I'd love to do a crappy simulator. I like crappy simulators. They've got a certain level of charm to them. I haven't really done one in a while, but I wouldn't mind doing another one at some point or another. Would I ever skydive? Oh, blimey, no. No. God, that seems terrifying. Like, I get scared when I'm playing the flipping Vive and it's got one of those, you're kind of in a high place peering out. And that's when I know I'm standing in a room and there's some lovely soft carpet there and I can't fall to my death. No, I don't think I'd ever skydive. I don't have the stomach for it. Do I have a background in tabletop RPGs? No, I never was really into tabletop RPGs or any kind of form of, like, tabletop gaming or stuff, like all the Warhammer and figure painting stuff. Like, some of my friends when I was at school were really into, like, painting figurines and stuff, but it seemed to be like a really expensive hobby. Those little figurines and like that seemed to cost quite a lot, and I never really had that much money when I was growing up. Like, I don't know if, like, I was being really flipping shortchanged by my parents when I was a teenager, because I did, you know, the odd job in summer and stuff, and I never really got much of an allowance, to be honest, and I always felt like I couldn't really afford to kind of keep up with this kind of little kind of buying Warhammer figurines and stuff. My friends seemed to, so I don't know. Maybe my parents were very, very harsh with me in that regard, but no, I never really was into that. What I am into now more is board games. Like, Claire and I have got a big board game collection. Like, if you watch the third anniversary special of the channel, in the background, when I'm giving Claire the food, you can see part of our board game collection. We've got a lot of board games. I'd love to do them on the channel, but the problem is, like, it's really hard to film board gaming. You need to have, like, a camera. Like, if you've got a hand, for example, if everyone's got a hand of cards that needs to be kept secret, you need to have a camera that's recording all of the hands. I need to have another camera on the board, and the whole thing needs to be lit. So you need to have enough lights around that all of the hands are properly lit and the board itself is properly lit, and it needs to be set up so, like, you know, the lights themselves aren't in shot. It just requires a lot of lighting and a lot of cameras and stuff. It's quite difficult to do, which is why we've never done it. But I would like to try it at some point or other. Do people in the UK find American patriotism odd? A little bit. A little bit in places. And I think that's kind of is, like, particularly the idea of America is the greatest country in the world. And I think, like, some British people find that, like, a really odd idea, the idea of someone kind of just overtly standing up, a senior political figure, and saying, hey, just let you know, we're confirming that America is still the greatest country in the world. Everyone cheers and goes, yeah, you're right, absolutely, we agree with that. It's like, and I think the reason Britain finds that a bit odd is because, you know, in our not too distant past, Britain, you know, would have had a perfectly sound case for standing up and saying, hey, just so you know, we're the greatest country in the world because, you know, we've got the British Empire and it's massive and it's incredibly rich and we kind of keep winning these world wars, don't we? I think this is kind of this feeling that having been in that position not that long ago and kind of, you know, seen the whole thing kind of dissolve a little bit, and after that happened, kind of hearing all of the bad things that came out of it, like, you know, the horrendous, horrible things that were done because there was no oversight or whatever in some of the former British colonies and how screwed up we left some of it. And let's be clear, we didn't screw up everything. Like, sometimes we went into countries and we provided some forms of infrastructure that was probably useful. And there were good things. Absolutely, there were good things about the British Empire. But there were a lot of bad things as well. And kind of being in a kind of a post-imperial country, that kind of, like, nationalism, patriotism, that kind of whole, yeah, we're the best country in the world, it kind of feels like, you know, it feels a bit Ozymandias, King of Kings, look upon my works, ye mighty, in despair. Like, we're very much aware that sort of thing is fleeting. So it feels a bit odd to us that any country would ever stand up and say, yeah, we're the greatest country in the world. It just feels like it's tempting fate a bit. Like, you know, America didn't used to be the greatest country in the world because it didn't used to exist. It's a relatively young country. America hasn't even been around that long. So to kind of, for them to all kind of stand up now and say, yeah, greatest country in the world, we find it odd because, like, you know, things change. The wheel turns. You can have an empire on which the sun will never set one year, and then less than a century later, you're a little island that's got no empire whatsoever later. It just, it feels odd to us because maybe it feels to us like when a country stands up and says we're the greatest country in the world and it's relatively a very young country next to all the European countries, yeah, it just feels like it's tempting fate a little bit. Like, maybe if in 500 years' time, America is still the biggest world superpower, maybe then you can stand up and say greatest country in the world. But maybe just don't tempt fate that much, guys, all right? How involved is Claire behind the scenes? Not very much, to be honest. Like, when I say, like, and I do say kind of we when I talk about the channel, like on Twitter and when I write emails and stuff, I say we all the time. It's kind of just a kind of a stylistic thing. There's not really much we. It's me, pretty much. It does take a lot of work and a lot of hours, but, like, it happens during the day because this is my job. So, you know, Claire goes out to work and I do a lot of what I do during the day. Absolutely, I work into the evening sometimes, but I think Claire's very supportive of that because she has a lot of hobbies, so she likes working on her hobbies in the evening, even if I'm having to work into the evening. So, you know, I think Claire's very, very supportive of the whole thing, and she doesn't do kind of much stuff. Like, she absolutely helps out. Like, she is the one who is building the new Many a True Nerd site right now, and she's helped me with the odd thumbnail in the past, and sometimes she's helped me with a few bits and pieces, and, like, if I'm doing one of the IRL videos, she'll help me with the setup or the camera work or whatever, and obviously, you know, she'll, on a not a regular basis, she'll kind of sacrifice an afternoon to record some of the co-op stuff with me, or she went into London to do the Pokemon Go stuff with me, so she'll sacrifice some of her time to it, which is absolutely lovely. But, like, in terms of, like, behind the scenes, like, stuff that you wouldn't be aware of, there's not much. Like, the stuff that Claire does, you can see up front, but, like, say, if me and Claire do a video together, I'll be the one that does 100% of the editing, so I don't impose on Claire to do much, really. Do I play games off-screen without the intention to put them out? Not really. Like, I do play a little bit of some of my more relaxing games off-screen. Like, I play a little bit of extra of, like, Stellaris, and I play a bit of Total War occasionally. But for the most part these days, like, everything I play, I do actually record. Is there any schedule for the Witcher series? No, I've no bloody clue when that's going to happen. And honestly, like, once we hit kind of, like, September time, like, the releases start coming thick and fast, so maybe in the quieter period at the beginning of 2017, that's when we might look at that. So there's a good chance we might not get that this year now. And would I consider the expansions to Fallout 4 slightly disappointing? I would consider some of them disappointing, like Contraptions, I think, is disappointing. Wasteland Workshop is, like, a small little extra, but equally is pretty much exactly what you would have expected it to be. Vault-Tec and Automatron are both just, like, okay. Those are probably the most disappointing because I'd have liked them to be more than they are. Far Harbor is, I think Far Harbor's brilliant. I think Far Harbor's one of the best bits of Fallout DLC there's ever been. I think it's, like, right up there or better than any of the New Vegas DLC, quite frankly. And I would like to think Nuka World is going to be the same thing again. Honestly, yes, I would have rather swapped out Automatron and Vault-Tec Workshop for two things more like small new off-map experiments like The Pit in Fallout 3, for example. Absolutely, I would have done that. So I'm slightly disappointed, I guess, but not massively, to be honest. We've already got Far Harbor, which is amazing, and hopefully, if Nuka World is going to be the second Far Harbor, which hopefully it will be, then we will have two really, really amazing bits of DLC, and indeed a base game I really love. So, and in all fairness, I will say, I think history, when we look back, will be kinder to Fallout 4 than to Fallout 3. I think Fallout 3 has already started aging a little bit badly. I think Fallout 4 potentially has more replayability in it than Fallout 3. That's just my opinion. Will there ever be a Many a True Nerd forum or something of that nature? Honestly, no. Obviously, like, we've got the new website coming in soon. But even on that, like, there's not going to be a forum or anything. Like, I think, like, between Twitter and the subreddit, and I know for some people who aren't on Reddit, Reddit has a bit of a bad reputation sometimes, but our subreddit is lovely. Our subreddit is very, very lovely, and I've never really seen any unpleasantness in our subreddit. I think it's a lovely forum. Plus, you know, people can email me if they want, and then there's the Patreon. Like, I think there's enough ways that people can talk to me and talk to each other if they want. I mean, even, of course, in the comments of the videos, I think, like, next to a lot of channels, our comment section is very coherent and not toxic in the slightest. So I think there are enough places to talk, hopefully, without needing a new forum. Now, this is a really interesting question I actually had to think about for a while. If Dan offered to integrate me into Nerdcube Limited and make you part of the brand/company, would you take up that opportunity? Yes, but only in a limited capacity, which is I'd very happily make videos like that sat within his channel with his branding that would kind of be officially, you know, labelled as a Nerdcube video by John or whatever, however he wanted to do it. Absolutely. But I would want to be able to keep an independent channel of my own. Like, if the only option I got was I basically needed to move my videos over and delete Many a True Nerd and only start, like, making videos for him, I wouldn't be able to do it because I'm like, I'm too attached to this community and this channel and so forth. So I'd want to keep my own channel and keep posting to that anyway and simply contribute to another channel on top of that. So that I would consider, but no, I can't see any scenario where I'd ever be willing to like wrap up Many True Nerd entirely, like under any circumstances, to start doing something exclusively for someone else. What upcoming games am I personally most excited about and for the challenge? Same answer for both, Dishonored 2. Dishonored, I think, is a flawed gem, but Dishonored is not only a really fun game, it's a game that you can do some really fun challenge stuff with, so I'm really looking forward to Dishonored 2. I think it's going to be fantastic. And are there any games you think will be terrible but have a lot of hype? Well, I've already mentioned I'm a little bit worried about No Man's Sky, and also, despite the number of people saying good things about it, I've never really been a big fan of the Final Fantasy franchise, so I'm not convinced Final Fantasy 15 is going to be anything special, to be honest. But I'm willing to be proven wrong on both fronts. Have I ever played Fallout Shelter? I played like a tiny bit just after it came out, but like it never really interested me. I don't really consider it like a main part of the franchise. Now it's actually kind of out on PC. There will almost certainly be a video at some point or other, but I'm not exactly in a rush for it. Seeing as we're now more than halfway through the year, how has being a full-time YouTuber been for you? Will you still continue being one for the time being? Yes, it's actually gone pretty well. All things considered, the growth in terms of the number of subscribers recently has been a little bit on the slow side. So I kind of said all along, like, one of the things I really want is I'd like to have 250,000, so 250,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Right now, the subscriber growth is a little bit slow for that, so we need to come up with, you know, something a bit more exciting in the second half of the year. But then, like, generally, the second half of the year is a bit more fast because like loads of new games come out, so you know you can be covering new games and there's generally a few more views floating around. But views have been really, really high recently. Like I was saying earlier, like this week with like Zombie and Near Death and Left Hand Path, like all those were really, really watched videos. Like as I get better as a YouTuber, I get better at looking at a game and thinking, yes, I can make a good video out of that and people will be interested in that, and I can make good videos and people watch them more. So the views are really, really good right now, albeit subscriber growth's a little bit low. Patreon, meanwhile, of course, is helping out more than it ever used to because, as I think I kind of mentioned last time, so obviously Britain decided to leave the EU, and though we haven't even left the EU yet, we've already flipping crashed our currency, and as you can see above, Patreon is all in US dollars. So now the US dollars you guys are kindly contributing are actually worth a lot more in British pounds than they used to be. So, I get a lot more from Patreon than I used to, even though the actual number at the top is pretty much what it was like a few months back. I actually get a lot more out of it. So, yeah, we're financially, for the moment at least, we're very, very secure. So I'll absolutely keep doing this for, like, bare minimum the rest of this year, because, like, you'd be crazy to stop doing it, like, just as you were reaching the end of the year, because the end of the year is when all of the good stuff happens. It's when all the new releases kind of cluster around, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff. So, like, there's loads of new stuff that's going to happen, and all of it could be very, very exciting. Probably the next time I take stock will be, like, sometime early-ish next year, because the British tax year kind of runs up to, the personal tax year runs up to like early April. So, you know, I'll kind of take stock and see like how have we done in the end of this tax year that we're actually at the moment. You know, how much have I actually made? Is this sustainable? And then I'll probably kind of make my decision for the following year. So, you know, I'd say like I'm definitely doing this full time up to April next year at the absolute bare minimum, and hopefully beyond that, because I'm having a really lovely time doing it. It's a fantastic privilege to be able to do this. So, you know, hopefully beyond that too. How do you deal with negative comments, reactions, posts, etc.? You don't get many of them, I think, but everyone handles negative feedback differently. There's very, very little of it. There's very, very little of it. And when you're a smaller YouTuber, that sort of stuff really, really bugs you. There's an old Oatmeal comic that kind of makes the point that, like, you know, you can receive 1,000 positive comments and be kind of smiling satisfied to yourself, but it only takes one negative comment to feel like you're terrible and talentless and all that. And absolutely, I used to get that sensation. when I was kind of a smaller YouTuber, because you're much more kind of sensitive to it. Like, as time goes by, you kind of get a little bit numb to it. You just don't care anymore. But part of the main big reason you don't care anymore is because, like, it gets drowned out an awful lot. You just have to take the punches, really. Like, you know, back years ago, if someone had said, "Hey, your channel's terrible and you suck and you're really annoying," I'd have been like, "Oh, he's right. I always feared that. Now I know because one person said it." Now, if someone comments that, I'm just like, "All right, Mr. Charismatic, how big's your YouTube channel then? Have you managed to grow a community of 200,000 people who, you know, like what you do and want to keep?" "Oh, no! No, you don't! You're just a whiny, anonymous loser on the internet, aren't you? That's a shame, isn't it?" Of course, I don't actually reply to those people and say that, because the best thing you can do for negative comments is basically don't engage, because there's a chance. I'm not saying, like, everyone who ever criticizes me must be a troll, because that would be really narcissistic of me. But, like, if someone is commenting because they're a troll, if you rise to it and answer them, then that's exactly what they want. The best way to, like, make sure trolls don't hang around and cause trouble is just not engage with them. So, like, negative stuff, I do read and I think about it and I take it on board if I think it's fair criticism. But, like, if it's just like people being like mean or negative or whatever and they're not being constructive, then I just completely ignore it. And if they do it like a few times and I recognize like the pattern, like a username I've seen like being negative a few times in a row, and every time they're just like being a jerk and they're not actually engaging or saying anything constructive, then at that point I'll issue a shadow ban. Which is a system YouTube has back end. People don't generally talk about it, but there is. Basically, I can issue a channel ban, which basically means that person can still watch my videos and they can comment on the video, but I never see that comment and neither do any of you. That person's comment is invisible, but that person doesn't know they've been shadow banned. So as far as they're concerned, they're like, you know, writing whatever poison or trolling they want, and like no one's reacting to it. So presumably they get bored and they wander off and do it somewhere else instead, which is quite a nice little system. I assume like many YouTubers just don't really want it known that it's there. They're rather just happy to kind of, "Yep, you're a jerk and annoying, and there you are, you've been banned." Lovely. So that's how I deal with that. Like, you just have to roll with the punches, really. You just kind of grow to accept it. So, I don't know. Maybe doing YouTube has made me a more confident individual. Who knows? And do I have any favorite moments from my YouTube videos? Yes, actually. Like, I think probably the favorite thing that ever happened to me was during Fallout 4 Survival, when I was like kind of, when I'd been kind of wandering around in East Boston for hours without saving. And then I was running away from the Rad Scorpion, and then flipping the Preston Garvey impersonator showed up. Because that was totally like, you know, obviously that's not scripted, and that's the first time I'd ever seen that guy, and I had no idea like what was going on with him. So all of that reaction was like completely genuine. He saved me from the Rad Scorpion, and then, like, you know, he and then I shot him because I assumed he was a synth and they didn't have the component on him, so, you know, I assumed therefore my Preston Garvey must have been a synth. And then obviously, as everyone said in the comments, it's a scripted event. He's just an impersonator, he's not a synth, and neither of them are synths. And, you know, I looked it up and I saw that, but I loved it so much I just made it a running joke. And then every time I saw Preston Garvey after that, I just kind of said, "Oh, there he is, there's the bastard synth, we'd lock him away before he does bad synthy things or something." But I just love that as a running joke. It's just beautiful. And like, I very rarely end on a joke, though I kind of want to. Like, this is something that Dan over at Nerdcubed did not long ago. He changed over from like signing out his videos. He ends his videos on a joke and then goes straight into the end card, which I think is really, really nice. Like, I personally like always being in my videos saying, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, I'm John, this is many a true nerd, and welcome to..." I always like beginning my videos like that. But, like, I sometimes feel my endings are a bit rambly, and I can ramble for, like, 2 minutes. And sometimes I like summing up what a game is like, but also sometimes, like, and I think I should do this more, I like just kind of, like, if I find a really good, perfect, you know, kind of joke moment to end the video, I kind of feel like I should do that more often. I might experiment with doing that a little bit, but with the kind of the big the Preston Garvey, you know, "But that means my Preston Garvey is the synth," and the bum bum bum, then straight to end card. That's possibly like my favorite thing. I love that ending. I genuinely think it's brilliant. So maybe I'll try and do some more of that. But that happens to be like one of my favorite moments in the history of the channel. I absolutely love it. Aside, of course, from the landmine on the girl's bedroom in Fallout 3, kill everything that I mentioned earlier. That's another one of my favorite moments. I love both of those moments dearly. All right, and that is it, I think. If I've missed something or you want to follow up or something, leave me a comment either on Patreon or indeed in the comments of the video. I will keep an eye out and I will make sure to get back to you. But there we are, that there is the July Patreon cast, obviously happening in August. Expect August to happen in September, because the second half of August is just going to be an insane, stressful nightmare, and it's going to make me very, very sad. So yes, we'll do August Patreon cast at the beginning of September. There we are, we're back on schedule, back a month behind, as it should be. It feels just like it should be to me. I like that being a thing. So, more Patreon cast in a month's time or so, ladies and gentlemen, and do let me know if you have any follow-up questions. But in the meantime, I've been John, this has been many a true net, and thank you all so very, very much for keeping this madness going, my dear patrons. Thank you very much, and goodbye.